Yeah, take your time making contact with her, your pelvis. I don't know if you're sitting cross-legged or sitting with your legs hanging off a chair, but we're all sitting so we all can feel the connection of the body with the support. And maybe just little movements, as if to say hi, hello. And it's not just the body saying hello, it's also her saying hello to the body. And then again, after a little bit of movement, settling into a place that feels stable for the pelvis on the earth. What else? Like maybe feel your head and how it's where it's positioned right now. Like how is it positioned? And is it ask your head, is that how you'd like to be positioned? And let your head move a bit along with your spine. Just a bit, as if it was being moved by a little breeze. And then the breeze fades away, and how does the head rest on top of the spine? And really feel the difference between the sensation of your pelvis on the earth and the head floating on top of the spine. And actually, maybe you feel the weight of your head. It's allowed to rest on the earth too. And maybe if your mind is very busy, visualize your thoughts like those little balls that you shake them and snowflakes fill the little glass bowl. But then after a while, the snowflakes settle down. Just send the invitation to your thoughts that they can settle down. Like snow. But you know, any moment somebody might walk by and shake the ball and off the thoughts go. That's okay, obviously. Hello, body mind, you say quietly. And then you just feel. You listen. Feeling is a kind of listening. Don't listen up too close. In other words, listen to the body and to the mind in its globality. Like you were listening to a symphony orchestra, and you're not focusing on one instrument. You're listening to the whole orchestra. And you're also listening to the silence. At least when you listen to a symphony, there would be no symphony without the silence. So here we're listening slash feeling. The totality of our moment by moment experience. As it harmonizes or dissonances, doesn't matter, with the surrounding silence. For no other reason than for the joy of listening. Thinking doesn't really have a place in this listening. It doesn't mean thoughts have to stop, but the thought, for example, what are we listening for? And what about this? And what about that? That thought, that kind of thought, let it just be a snowflake or a bunch of snowflakes. Sort of ignoring them. But not ignoring the feelings and the sensations and the textures and the pulsations, the tactility, the sensuality. The contraction. That's what makes the music. And of course, the silence. That's really what makes the music. In fact, at any moment, you might feel drawn to just merge away from the orchestra of the body mind and just slip right into the silence. As if you're moving away from the music, it fades, like, when you physically move away from the concert hall. The music fades and the silence increases. Don't be shy to slip away from the music of experience. Into the dark silence that stretches out deep. And in a way, the body and the mind, they come along as if the music itself is drawn back towards the silence, which is the case with everything, actually, is drawn back to the silence. And even more, everything is made out of silence. So the sensations that you're feeling right this moment, the sound of this voice, they're all modulations of silence or condensations of silence, or I don't know. Imaginations of silence. Now, feeling your body again, just each one of us, we have a very unique body instrument. Feel your instrument. Just directly, don't even have to visualize it, but feel your own pelvis, your own legs, your own hips, your breath. Your body, my body, feel your belly, your feet, your soles. Palms of your hands. Feel your torso. Whatever you can feel there, maybe it's a contraction in the shoulder blades, the lower back, or feel it's yours. It's your body speaking. Feel your neck, your throat, your face. It's a precious thing, this body. Speaking, singing, complaining. Talking a language that we don't always understand. Feel the back of your head, back of your neck. Feel your back, your shoulders, your arms. They're not just generic arms, mechanical arms, they're yours. Yours, mine. And they're fresh and new at every moment. And yet they're yours. You're fresh and new at every moment, but you're you. You're still you. There's a consistency which is completely amazing and mysterious. But don't think about it. Just listening now, listen inside the body, to your inside your body. Just take a bit of time listening down, right down inside the pelvis, at the root of the pelvis. The perineum, the sexual area. It's yours. It carries a memory, maybe. Surely. Make sure the breath is allowed to move organically at the very lowest part of the abdomen. So that it can touch, caress the root of your pelvis and say, hello, it's safe. You can rest. You can surrender to gravity. Maybe your legs. Or being drawn down into the earth. Maybe you can just feel this drawing down of the body into the earth. Gravity. It's called gravity. And before being a discovery of, what's his name? Newton, is that his name maybe? It was a mystery. Perhaps it had the name of a goddess. This sensation of down. Deep, maybe dark. Maybe it's not necessary to fight or resist it, which is what we usually do. We can say, take me, Mother Earth. We can say, take me, great mystery. Take me while I am embodied. Take me into your body. And maybe the body would like to move a little bit from this connection of the pelvis and the earth. So let the body be moved very naturally, whatever comes up for you with your eyes closed. From inner rather than from outer. From the energy rather than from a physical, muscular intention. And if you don't know, you could visualize that you are in the hands of a Chinese master who knows all about the energy lines and meridians and is moving your body with her hands or his hands. Including your head. And this Chinese master is yours. We each have one. We each get one. Completely tailored to your body. It's just a matter of trusting him, her. Yes, and then let the master return the body to a place of alignment. Becomes more and more subtle. There's still little movements going on, the hands are even maybe moving right inside your body. Spreading organs. Relaxing your body from the inside. Touching your spine from the inside as if to indicate the correct alignment. And then feeling the body's intimate relationship with the surrounding silence again. Your bodies and your heart, by the way. Your intimate connection with silence. It's a relationship that is very familiar to each one of us. It includes the breath, includes the heart, the softness of the body. The capacity to say yes. Yes to the invisible. Allowing whatever is being held still in the back, in the hips, in the jaw, to be gathered into this current of yes. Yes to the openness. The breath is very helpful here. Somehow, you have to find your own way that the breath is so precious. Because the breath and the heart and the great silence, they're all very connected. And also the inside of your ears. And also the palms of your hands. And you can slide into the silence again. And it's a little bit like sometimes we slide into the silence and then we're back with the music. And sometimes the music is dissonant and there's tension. And maybe then it's time to say, Mama, take me. Mama Earth, Goddess Gravity. Sometimes it might be time to listen to a place of difficulty in the body, body heart, especially if it's an emotion. Then it's maybe time to sit with that place and talk. Quietly. Or sometimes it's time, it's another option is to allow this place of difficulty in the body. That's still not quite, hasn't quite surfaced, it's just under the surface. Maybe then you can make a sound. You can let it make a sound. These are just ideas. You make it a, let it make a sound and maybe then a movement, and then maybe it's coming out of under. And then usually all you need to do is follow the wave. Once it's above surface, then the task is not to push it back down again. And not to divert it with the story that often is attached to it. That's for another time. Or actually, you know what? The story is very welcome too, but sometimes the story is there for a bit and then it can drop away and it's more of a raw, free wave of emotion. So there are many possibilities. Again, maybe letting your bodies move, make sure. So maybe either the Chinese hands or the wind, the breeze, moving the body. Make sure the spine, it doesn't stay rigid, right? It's allowed to bend and round and there's many possibilities, arch and your head, the side of your head, of your neck. And this time let the breeze turn into a little bit of a stronger current so that even your arms and your hands and your fingers are being moved. Maybe it's liquid rather than air, just this liquid substance. And it might resonate, the outer movement resonates with an inner feeling. Coming from you, and you cooperate, and maybe your hands are doing something, shaping, gesturing. And it's you, and it's not you, and it's not you, and it's you. And if the body needs to stand, it stands. And nobody's looking. You're not allowed to open your eyes. Forbidden. Of course, you get the recording later on, but I think you only see me. So you get to see me moving. I'm not very interesting from the outside, I mean. And here it's not, it doesn't have to be smooth and beautiful and graceful. Listen in for any gnarly, jerky, ugly, distorted, dissonant, and give it a movement. Let it be moved, that place that's and see how it moves, and maybe it will move towards something more easeful. And always coming back, the body coming back to stillness. Very gently, so that every millimeter of dissolving of the body is felt as if you were eating the body as it dissolves. into you. In this case, you are the field. Sometimes you're the body, and sometimes you're the field, sometimes you're both. And really, here, what I would like for us little by little over these sessions, more and more, is to really begin to trust our bodies. Simple. Trust. And when I say our bodies, I mean something not just physical and mechanical. I mean also the earth and the space beyond the body, and I mean the great silence. But I also mean the very ordinary contraction between the shoulder blades, or the tension in the face, or the fatigue, or even the agitation in the mind, which really is a sensation too. To just trust. Not to lay some ideas over it all the time. I mean, we can't help it, right? Mind is so busy, constantly looking beyond the now, either past or future. But the body I speak of here, which really is life, that body is in the now. It's in the now, meaning it's not a now that is pinnable, quantifiable. It's a process, but it's never not in the now. Feel again your whole body, including the earth and the space and the air and the sound of my voice and the breath. Feel your breath. Without manipulating your breath in any way, feel it. Delicate breath. Or maybe not delicate. If there's judgment or numbing or tension around the breath, that's what you're feeling. Hello, breath. Feel your abdomen with the breath, your belly. Just feel. No judging, no changing. Is it allowed, the movement of the belly, or is it slightly held? Don't let the mind tell you this is boring. This is horrible, and I can't wait for this to be over. See if you can let that thought settle and tell yourself, replace it by this thought. This is the most beautiful music, even if it's unpleasant. This movement and feeling of the breath and the lower abdomen. Especially like right at the end of the exhale, what happens? Can I listen? And the moment where the next inhale swells up, can I listen? Can I bear it? Can I listen as if it was in me being an openness? As if I was watching the movement of a current coming and going in nature. Now move, we walk a little bit beyond the belly, the lower belly, to the solar plexus, rib cage area, and then we listen to the breath. There's no right, there's no wrong. So whatever comes with the label unpleasant, it's not wrong. It's very interesting, very rich, very intense. That would be a better label. Really tasting, especially the moment where the breath fades. A pause, next inhale. Beating of the heart. All the layers of feelings. Can I not breathe? Can I let breathing be? Without doing it. Very intense. This is life. Life is intense. Make sure the weight of your pelvis is rooted with her. And now we move a little bit beyond, a little bit higher to the area of the throat and the upper lungs. And we observe and feel the breath up there. Yes, and now we're going to elongate the breath and feel it originating from the root of the pelvis and traveling all the way up to the head area on the inhale, and then traveling down the other way with the exhale. Find your own rhythm and see if you can really taste and feel. Long, smooth. As if there was a A tube right in the center of the torso, and you feel it with your tactile sense, and the breath just flows in through this open channel from the root all the way up with the inhale, pause, and then all the way down with the exhale, long, smooth, pause. You light it up with your tactile sense, and then the breath just flows. You don't have to do it. And of course, I say this, but inevitably you will be doing it. You will be pulling and grasping and fighting and things like that. But in the contemplation, just see them for what they are. They're little innocent sensation creatures. Let them be and just keep coming back to this long, smooth. Yes, and after the next exhale, just let things be unmeddled with. Maybe just one last breeze, taking the body, moving the body slow. This time, just a breeze and it's pure silence. It's a breeze of silence. Not only is it moving the body, it's permeating your body, your cells, the places that hurt, especially the articulations of the whole body, permeating the cells, the soft tissue, the bones. Skin, your teeth, your gum, your eyeballs, your hair, your nails. All the hidden places, your armpits, behind your knees. Between your legs, no hidden places in silence, in this breeze of silence. Like a body of a baby, you know, like a mother massaging her baby with baby oil on every single millimeter of the baby's skin, but now it's even inside, it's been massaged by silence oil. Yes, and then let your body, minds, hearts, everything sort of fall asleep in the silence. Like a baby falling asleep on his mother's body. Maybe something doesn't fall asleep, and that's okay. Some things are asleep and some are not. But everything is in the mother's body, on the mother's body. We'll take 10 minutes break, pause, or almost. We'll come back at 25 too. Thank you, everyone. See you in a few minutes.
Welcome back.
Hi, Leslie.
As usual, I think everybody's been here, so feel free to speak or share or not.
Yeah. Just while you're all quiet, I'll plug my little online open circle thing next weekend. If some of you want to do a bit more of this very boring meditation. Just kidding. I don't find them boring.
Hi, Ellen. This is Maria Rosa. Hi.
Hi, Maria Rosa.
Hello, everyone. Since nobody is talking right now, not that I want to interrupt the silence, but I want to share that I don't know if it's a projection. But or creation, but who cares, right? At the end of the session today, you said something like, just something about letting go into your mother's arms, something like that, as if you're in your mother's arms, right? And at least that's how I interpreted it. Whatever you said. And then I had this experience of actually feeling, wow, yeah, like it kind of like shooted me there, you know? We all were into our mother's arms at some point, I guess. And it felt like I could relive it. She left, right? Where is she?
I think she got disconnected. So Remco is the host now, apparently.
No,
Oh,
I'm
she's
back.
back.
I'm back.
Oh, Remco, answer me.
Maria Rosa, I lost you when you said, where are you? Now you're gone. Oh no, there you are. I lost you when you said something about projection, about mother's arms, and then
Yeah.
the negative mother was among was a
Okay.
Tell me what you said.
Well, what I said is that I had it's almost as if I could feel, yeah, right. How was it to be in my mother's arms, right? Because in a way, I feel my body recorded it, recorded the experience. Look at the guy. He
He
just,
knows where his mother's arms
and
are.
I know. That's why it's probably every moment,
Wait, wait, wait.
you
Mary Rosa,
know,
are you guys
in
hearing?
this very moment tonight. But I just felt like that's right. I don't think hear you. Can you hear me, Ilan?
I can hear you now.
It's
I'm afraid
beautiful.
that the connection isn't good, but carry on, Maria Rosa. We'll just wade through this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Give me the hotspot. You, yeah, I just.
I'm losing you. Are you guys hearing Maria Rosa? Is it just me? Is it my connection, maybe? No, you're losing her too. It's iffy, huh? Maria Rosa, are you with us?
Come back
Okay.
after, maybe after.
Okay, but I think I didn't understand like the feeling or the gist of what you wanted to share. Was it difficult? Was it, I'm not sure what, can you just try to distill it? Oh, she's gone. All right. Oh no. Oh, there she is. Oh, now we can't hear. You're muted. Okay, Maria Rosa, maybe, how about you have, I don't know what to say. Ask to unmute. Yeah, she's gone. Oh, there she is. I think your connection's even worse than mine, Maria Rosa. Okay. I'm going to wait for her to come back. But if anybody else wants to speak or even tell me what Maria Rosa was saying, because I didn't understand. It was about the mother and the body of the mother. That's what I gathered.
I don't know what happened, but just to finish, it's not difficult anymore, right?
No, your connection's not good, Maria Rosa. We can't understand. I can't understand you.
I what? Heard her say that she really felt what it was like to be in her mother's arms.
Is that right, Maria Rosa?
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you, yes. Go for it. Go for it, quick, quick.
Yeah, but you know, how do I know? And who cares if I really remember how it was? You know, it's like, but the thing is that it came to me, yeah, like a memory, like a stored memory in my cells that probably was not so comfortable 100% to be in my mother's arms, because probably she was not comfortable. She was. So it's like my body, not, you know, detected it on a vibrational level, you know, that somebody's not completely dropped. And I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying, you know.
No, you do know what you're saying. You're saying, and you're not sure, because it's, you know, it's so very hard to pinpoint what our bodies are telling us or what is surfacing, right? But we were in the theme of the mother, and this feeling of, you know, I observe a baby every week, and I observe this baby falling asleep on his mother's body this week, and it was such a beautiful sight. The baby was completely abandoned, and the mother was not like lying down. She was sort of sitting back, and she was trying to do her stuff, you know, on her phone and everything. And the baby was just like completely like, and so I think I was evoking that as an image for, you know, obviously for even something more spiritual, we could say the surrendering, but that if we try to translate it into the body, an image of that would be with the mother. But of course, all of us, most of us, didn't have that experience or had difficult experiences, so that's thrown up as well in these meditations. You know, even if I say lots of lovely images of borderless silence and beautiful surrender, but it might be the very thing that brings up the memory, the vibrational memory of a not so happy mother moment. But in a way, it's all good here. You know what I mean? Like, because even that is held in the infinite embrace. And And I don't know, then after that, Maria Rosa, what you do with that memory, you let it go, or if it's something new, you can think about it, you can write about it, you can feel more into it, you know, you can think about, you told me about your mother the other day, who's very elderly. Now, are you with me?
No. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think the mother realm is a very wounded realm in the more relative, you know, it just has to be, you know, not, even a good mother is going to fail their baby. And we live in a culture that's so disconnected from the earth and from the body and all this stuff. And so we all carry a big mother wound, I think, amongst other wounds. So it's good to feel them. They're natural. They're human. They're human. But, you know, at the. Yeah, anyway, I don't know if that resonates at all with what you were trying to share. I'm not even sure you're with us.
Yes, very much.
Okay.
I am.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. It did resonate.
Okay. Yeah.
What I was trying to say is that, you know, just because you use the word mother, you could have used any other word, but you use the word mother. Actually, you know, it brought my mother to me in a way, you know, like.
Yes, I understand that. And of course, when I use it, I'm thinking of, you know, the great mother or the divine mother or the invisible mother, but inevitably the personal mother is also the divine mother, but she's also human and she carries her limitations. And so all of that will resonate with all the infinite mother, and the personal mother will begin to sort of, when we're in this meditation, they'll begin to both be constellated, and maybe it brings up some sadness or some memory or some more, even some anger or some difficult things, but also maybe the divine mother. And that's just an idea, but actually it's also an experience. I think it's an experience we all know, something very vast and very embodied in a way. That might also be recognized and vibrate in ourselves when we speak of this in this way, especially if it's connected to the earth and to a vibration. And it's another way of speaking of God when we use that word. And in all the cultures, I think, in all cultures, there was a sense of the sacred mother, of the divine mother. And I mean, in all religions as well. Maybe not in all religions, I don't know. But anyway. I think one more thought is that when I bring this word into the meditation, it's because we're exploring creation. We're exploring our bodies. We're exploring our sensations, our feelings, that's creation comes out of the feminine in a sort of, of course not, it's also, it's not feminine, masculine, but it's a way of understanding and feeling that feeling that everything we experience comes out of a create of her. It sort of makes sense to say that rather than him. He did something, but she gives birth to all this. Len, you did do something. And Richard, I'm just kidding. It's not literal anyway. Oh my God, I'm getting lost.
Okay, goodbye, Maria Rosa. Anybody else want to chirp in on this topic of the mother?
Hilka wants to share.
Hilka, help.
Because the great mother has brought me here and is bragging me here, and whenever coming, it's like a devouring. Now I start to get that word. Like slowly, slowly, she is taking the whole thing, the body, and like in absolute unconditional love, however difficult or charged or emotionally, like showing that everything is her. It doesn't belong to me, the person, and also showing that the person is not separate from her. So it's like growing as a big mama somehow during the devouring
nice.
Process. And I really like that, like the devotional. And she likes that devotional attitude.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Bowing and embracing the earth, inviting, evoking somehow with a breath. So it has like the wounded child in me is now like becoming that cosmic mother in a way.
Yeah, it's beautiful how you're putting it into words. So difficult to put into words because it's so irrational. And I mean, not irrational, but it's not that it's irrational, but it's not easy to put into words. And you're doing it very beautifully.
Thank you. And when it's like the left brain comes online and starts to have the story, when it's lost that divinity, you can immediately feel that now it's like a time to attune.
Yes.
And what I found another day, there was those Mahavidyas, this expressions of the goddesses and the big mother, like this Tuesday is for the Kali, the Bengali, the whole cosmic, which is holding this all. So there is something magical in our gathering. Even it's like every day, of course, but
you mean today is really Kali, is Bengali Kali today?
Tuesdays.
Ah, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. Oh.
No, because I wonder, because of the disconnect and the difficulty understanding Maria Rosa, and I'm thinking maybe Kali was sort of at work too, sort of like. Stop talking.
That too. Yeah, putting us in the right place. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Hilka. Thank you very much for those words. I mean, I love the juxtaposition, you know, that we don't have to reconcile that Maria Rosa, really, she brings the very personal wounded child and the wounded mother. And then you bring in this lovely, in a very lovely way, the cosmic mother, the devouring and becoming the mother, the, you know, this sort of constant. There's only the mother, but of course there's the child that, and every creation moving out of the mother, returning to the mother and all that. But it's all very mysterious in a way. And
what I experienced was this feeling of, when you talked about the mother, you said, you know, you pointed to the earth, and I was lying down, and my first flash was, I'm so grateful that it's not too late to have the kind of mother that this child really longed for. It's not too late. We have access to it right now in this gathering. Yeah.
That's really nice, Claire. Thank you. It's lovely.
Ellen?
Yes, who's
yeah. talking? Hi, it's Mark. It's Mark. So you said you don't have to reconcile like the wounded child. We all had limited mothers. Like we're all humans. If I ever have a kid, I'll be a limited father. And then there's like the divine, the divine mother that Hilke talked about. He's talking about there wasn't a need to reconcile it. What if you do want to reconcile it, you know?
Well, it's easy. You can say that everything appears in the Great Mother, including the wounded child and the wounded mother. And well, tell me a little bit, like what you find irreconcilable. What's difficult to reconcile?
Well, I just feel like there's a part of me that wants to reconcile it personally, because I have my issues with my mom, you know, as we all do. Mm-hmm. I know I have to address that in different routes and ways and whatnot.
But your difficulties with your mom and, you know, whatever happened, does that mm-hmm. put into question for you your understanding of this cosmic mother, or whatever word you might like to call it, consciousness or silence or presence? And does it in any way make it hard for you to rest in some kind of understanding and peace? Does it contradict your understanding? In other words, is suffering coming in the way of you resting in this understanding?
Maybe not resting, but expressing. Mm-hmm. I feel like. I mean, for me at least, I feel like my relationship with my mother is kind of the model for all my relationships in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorting through that and whatnot.
But that's really good. But I think what I mean by it, you don't need to reconcile, is that you're talking about something so very personal and very important, and
mm-hmm.
that you continue to work on your whatever work, I hate that word. You know, explore, unpack,
sure.
In therapy. And when we go deep enough in personal issues, such as our relationship with our mother or father or husband or whatever, first of all, we heal. We engage in a healing process, because we have to welcome all the anger, the resentment, the longing, all sorts of difficult things have to be wrestled with. So that in and of itself is healing, especially if we mm-hmm. do it with a therapist or somebody who can really have our back and not save us from the wrestling. And at the same time, if we do this kind of deep investigating, not investigating from here, but just investigating of our lives, such as our lives presents itself, mm-hmm. that is what the mother, the great mother, or God, or I don't know what to call it, is required. That's what's happening. That's what's on offer to realize God. In other words, you don't have to reconcile your problems with God. You get to explore your problems in God. In doing that, it's God who's doing that. It's God. It's not you and God. God in the shape of Mark is exploring itself. And one of the ways it does that, she does that, he does that, is through what your life circumstance, and for example, through
engaging in a process with your mother, for example, everything.
So in that, like when you say it that way, so it's not like relational, like God's a container. Like the divine mother's the container.
Yes, but you,
right? Yeah.
But don't worry, you know, it doesn't matter. It's a container, but the relationship with your mother and the work you do with that, around that is God. Is for God, is for you, it's for your mother, it's all of it. In a way, don't worry too much about what's what. It's all in the end, yes, you can say it's all God, it's in God, it's not only in God, it is God. Well, but that doesn't mean you have to make it look like an idea you have of God. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is just food for thought. Could you give as much reverence for the healing in the relational world, like the dealing with the mother issues or whatever has it is, as the resting in divinity? Would that, like, can you get, there wouldn't be a hierarchy between the two?
There's no hierarchy between the two.
But you'd have to give equal amount of like sacredness to both, right? Like they're both doing the work. Or doing the word you want, the unpacking is just as valid as the resting in being, or resting in the divine feminine, or whatever you want to say, right? Like they're equal.
Well, it's difficult to answer that question. Everything's equal in a way, you know. Everything is equal in the eyes of God, but you know whether what. It's for you to, we know, you know very well when you're engaging in something in order to intensify your sense of safety and well-being, mm-hmm. and or when you're doing it for liberation, for healing, okay. love. So, but that could be anything. It could be anything. You could be, I don't, you know, just talking to your neighbor, and it could be a sort of sacred in the sense that at that moment you're present and you're aware, and or you're, I don't know, you just know that it's not a moment where you're seeking security, defending, asserting, protecting. That's the how to describe it, but it's not really, doesn't really matter what it is you're doing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I get that, yeah, no, but I guess, well, maybe it's just me.
No, don't worry, Mark. It's important. Go for one more round, and then we'll have to stop.
Yeah, no, yeah, of course.
Go ahead, Mark. One more.
There is room for values, right? Putting this over that, right? In this.
In what?
Like, I make a healthy meal instead of going to McDonald's. I stop by, I give the man a dollar so he can go get food instead of telling him to get a job. Right? Like there's, and we don't need,
I get what you're saying. I think you're trying to differentiate between things that.
Yeah, because I mean, it just seems.
But I think I was trying to say yes, absolutely. But you know what? You don't have. It's not out there. Not like no biblical God is telling you. You know, thou shalt this. I mean,
yeah.
But I guess I'm saying trust your own, because
okay,
maybe one going to McDonald's on one occasion would be a very sacred thing.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, in celebration. I don't know. I mean, McDonald's. You might.
There's times.
or telling the homeless guy to get a job because actually you know him and you know you can. And, you know, it's all contextual. It's so you can't.
Okay. No, that's helpful.
But
that's
there's
helpful.
Your own hierarchy. Like, you know, you, there's your own. When you fall back into ignorance or a movement of egotistical security seeking gesture, even that sometimes is a little bit
further down the line, you realize that it's not, you didn't have a choice. You didn't have a choice. And then you did it. You did the wrong thing according to your value system. But then a little bit down the line, you see it, and you see it much more clearly than you ever saw it, because it was quite a large contraction. So that's a gift. So, you know, in other words, that's why it's not a good idea to have too rigid of a value system. It's more about your heart and feeling, following your heart. And sometimes your heart is so overwhelmed with fear or anger that you have to grab for security, or you're angry and you act out, and you indulge in addiction and go to McDonald's. But because your heart is ultimately sort of moving towards something, truth or whatever, that will in its own time be seen and rectified. Anyway, that's I don't know if that helps, but we can come back to it. Please come back, everyone, to the great mother.
thank you
Mark, thank you everyone. I think we're a bit over time, so we'll leave it at that. And see you next week, some of you maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye then.
Bye, Ellen. Thank you.